Welcome to the special edition podcast to highlight the VRDM on the 5th of May 2020. I'm interviewing members of the committee to give you an inside view of what goes on behind the scenes when organizing a live 24-hour event and an insight into the people who make it happen. A little bit of background about the International Day of the Midwife. It's a day where people across the world celebrate and recognize the work of midwives by means of a 24-hour online conference that is absolutely free. And we bring together participants from six different continents who all join together to network and share evidence-based research and knowledge and experience. The format of the conference is that it is a using web conferencing software that allows you and the delegates to chat with each other throughout the sessions and to participate in online polls, as well as ask questions directly to the speakers and delegates. So today I'm speaking to Linda Wiley, who is one of the long-standing members of the committee. And thank you so much for joining me today, Linda. And I would love it if you could tell me and the listeners a little bit more about who you are and where you live.
Hi there. Thank you, Karen. I'm delighted to be here speaking to you today. My name's Linda Wiley. I'm a midwife, or a retired midwife, living in Scotland, an English woman in Scotland. I was a midwife for over 40 years before I retired, both as a clinical midwife, mostly in the community, and then as an educator. And I'm passionate about midwifery, and I love both roles. I'm a mother of four children and a nana of four grandchildren who are the light of my lives now, of course, although I haven't been able to see them close to for 3 weeks because of this crisis that we're in the middle of. I'm a member of the Association of Radical Midwives, which is my other passion, really, besides the VRDM. And the ARM is a group of midwives and others who support midwives to support women to get to achieve the birth they want. I'm a long-time enthusiast of technology and what it brings to society, and that's what brought me really into the VRDM.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's such a vast experience that you have as a midwife, as an educator, with all the tech that you bring, and as well as your interests and involvement in other associations like the Association of Radical Midwives. So it's wonderful to have you with us. And you mentioned that you are an English woman living in Scotland. So whereabouts in Scotland are you?
I live in a little town called Troon, which on Facebook says Troon, the small town with the big heart, which is true. It's a lovely little community. We have a fabulous support system going on at this crucial time within all our lives. It's on just near the beach, which I haven't seen for a little while. And it is a surprising place because I live in Scotland, but we have palm trees along the side of our beach in parts of the west coast here. It's warmer than you expect. It's not a land of cold snow. In fact, we've had no snow this year. And at the moment, I'm looking out upon a lovely day. The sun is shining, and I've been able to get in the garden for the last week. And I've got another week of gardening, I think, coming up. It's a lovely place.
Well, I am surprised to hear that you have palm trees in Scotland. That's certainly not something that I would have expected. And wow.
The Gulf Stream that flows in this direction keeps the place a little bit warmer than the rest of Scotland. I mean, we don't get palm trees everywhere. It's just this particular part of Scotland.
Yes. Oh, wow. So Linda, how would you explain the VRDM to someone who has never heard of it before?
Virtual International Day of the Midwife. It's an online conference. It's free. You mentioned that earlier on. Because it's online, it costs the planet very little, and that's what attracts me to it. The conference runs for 24 hours. We have 24 hourly sessions across that 24 hours. It's held to celebrate International Day of the Midwife. And this year we have got a full program of concurrent sessions as well. So actually we've got something like 30 sessions over the 24 hour period from midwives from all over the world and other people who are interested in the process of birth. The main point about the VIDM that makes me so keen on it is that it means, because it's online and it's free, it means that all midwives and all other people interested have equal access to it, both as presenters and delegates, if you want to put them, call them that. There is no cost to the conference. There's no flights to take or hotels to pay for. So unlike our professional face-to-face conferences, it is entirely equitable in who it attracts and enables to come and network and be educated. And it's run by a team of volunteers, international team of volunteers. There's 11 of us now from across the world. We meet online to organise it, and we're all very good supporters of each other. It's a fabulous conference, and I think there should be more of them.
We certainly are very supportive of each other. It's been a real roller coaster ride, being my first year on the committee and learning all the ins and outs of pulling this together. And one of the questions that I've had when I've been sharing about it on my various social media channels has been, would it be of interest? And, you know, the birthing moms, especially at the moment, you know, there's such a renewed interest of looking into various forms of having your baby, because everybody's questioning their birth choices a lot more with a different viewpoint because of what's happening with coronavirus. So can you share with us a little bit more how birthing moms would benefit from attending this conference, and dads and birthing people?
Well, that's a very interesting point, actually, because we have such a wide variety of topics that are being discussed, and we actually have a birthing mum presenting, not a midwife, not a birth activist or anything else. We do have one presenter who's coming to put her point of view about her birth, so that shows that the rest of it must be very interesting. I think looking at the birthing mum would probably be, if you looked at the program, there would be some sessions which would very definitely be of interest to her. We commonly have sessions where we're talking about the rights of women, which is not necessarily something that is understood in all countries, about what rights people have, about the paternalistic side of childbirth, where we debate this. We would like more sessions like that, actually, and perhaps there's a place here in future years to actually aim some of the sessions deliberately at birthing mums. But it is a conference that's really aimed at the midwives and those that support the women. But there would definitely be some sessions which would be of interest to birthing mothers.
Thank you. I think that does answer the question. And as you say, just being able to look through the program and finding things that they would want to know more about. And certainly rights during childbirth is something that is very topical at the moment with all the changes that are happening because of the uncertainty of coronavirus. So, yes?
I could just mention here, Karen, that we've got an exciting, possibly an exciting addition to the conference this year. But because of the coronavirus crisis, you know that women's rights, even in countries where normally they have the rights and they have the voice, that these are not being listened to in the attempt to deploy health workers to the best of our ability. Some of these are being eroded. So we have been approached by world leaders to ask if they could speak to the midwives and birth workers this year about the resources that are being produced for them, the midwives and everybody, that would affect the way in which women are able to give birth. So we are hoping to have a couple of sessions, probably before the conference begins, looking at the whole debate around women's rights and how the maternity services should be planned and reorganized in the light of the crisis that we're in just at the moment. So watch this space, Karen.
Absolutely. It's a very, very exciting space to be watching. And I have a feeling that in many ways, although this is a corona crisis and we speak about it as a crisis, I feel like it's maybe the tipping point for many changes to happen in terms of maternal rights and childbirth.
Couldn't agree more.
So yes, I am incredibly excited about that. And Linda, tell me, why did you originally join the Virtual International Day of the Midwife Committee, and how did you get involved with it?
Oh, I just fell into it, really, Karen. I saw an advert on Facebook for the Virtual International Day of the Midwife. And I've always been passionate about anything to do with computers and the internet and what it, the opportunities that it produces to everybody. I used to run a social media peer support group at the university I worked at to encourage people to make use of the software. So anyway, so it's a passion of mine as well. So I saw the advert, went along to the VIDM, was just so taken by the whole concept. It was free. You got to talk to people who were very famous, very eminent, but also talk to midwives in Africa and India and the middle of Australia, all very easily through the process. So I contacted the person who was leading it at the time, and I said, do you need any help? And I'm afraid I didn't have to go through what you had to go through, Karen. There was no interview or anything. She just asked some help, Linda, and that was me on board. And I have been the month of April leading into May for the last 9 or 10 years, I can't quite remember how many years I've been doing this, have always been blanked out in my diary so that I could really concentrate on organising something that I find so exciting, so leveling, and so accessible to so many people so that we can all learn from each other. I would like more information about how midwifery is in the different countries, and I do keep trying to push that kind of thing. And I do want more student midwives involved, and we're working on that at the moment, because they are the midwives of the future. So that's really, got involved that way, just by accident, just happened to come across it on Facebook.
Well, you are very lucky that you didn't have to go through that interview process, but anyway, luckily here I am. So yes. What would you say is the biggest challenge that we are facing right now in terms of maternal health worldwide?
Away from the coronavirus, I think. We've said enough about that. Yeah?
Yes, because the coronavirus has really just highlighted everything.
I would say that's just aggravated the bad points about midwifery anyway, aren't they? I think the biggest problem is this desire to control the process of birth. Mm. In more than others, but in most areas, too much. Mm. The medicalization of our birth. I mean, I can't believe it sometimes. I was in Iran a few years ago and discovered that in many places, the cesarean section rate was in the 70s, 80s, 90s. There's no justification for that. And I just read on Facebook yesterday, actually, that in India, many parts of India, the cesarean section is similar. What is the justification of that?
Well, people, it's the same in South Africa. The C-section rate in South Africa in the private sector is 74% presently.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, people seem to think a cesarean section is just a small operation to pop a baby out. It's nothing like that. The complications are horrendous. Well, not horrendous, but I mean, there are more complications from a cesarean section than there are from a nice natural birth. Why do we need to do this? There is such a thing as having far too many cesarean sections, and there is such a thing as having too few cesarean sections. We need to be somewhere in the middle, and it's not 70%. Is it something like 8 or 10% they reckon should be the ideal section rate? And that's going on the conservative side of making sure that women give birth healthily. You know, like you veer towards cesarean section for breech births. If you took them out, it should be even lower, you know. So medical, why have people got this desire to have power over women and their bodies when having a baby is very natural? We should be sitting back, watching, masterly in activity, watching the process quietly in a corner and letting this woman get on with what her body knows damn well how to do, and only stepping in if there is a problem. And then even then, only stepping in so far as to solve that problem, not to control the whole process from that point on, you know?
I think the key words that you use there are masterly inactivity. And yep, that is something that we as midwives learn and really have to master. But it's not something that is rife. And it's certainly not in the mindset of the medical system. Masterly inactivity is the complete opposite of what we see in a typical hospital setting, where you go in to have something done. You don't go in to sit around and wait for something to happen.
Yes, totally.
So,
and lots of midwives who actually find it very difficult to sit around and do nothing. They have to do things. And so it's not just the obstetricians that we're talking about here. There is that side of midwifery as well, where they're more interested in doing things as well. So sitting back with your knitting in the corner is just not part of the curriculum or the mindset of many people.
Well, that actually brings me to my next question, really. So, you know, what needs to change?
Well, we do try to educate student midwives to think along those lines, but that's not true of many countries, and also even in my own country. You know, if I used to go into class and talk about normal childbirth and masterly inactivity and taking your knitting or a cup of tea and things like that, they would look at you aghast. Are you allowed to do apart from anything else? It's not even in their mindset. What's got to change? Well, I think what's got to change is the way that we portray childbirth on the TV, in the media, because there it's always kind of busy, and not good at sitting back and showing you on television dramas where someone is having a baby, that it's a cool, calm and collected, quiet environment that is required. We need to change that. And I used to say to my student midwives, I don't know if you have these shows over in South Africa, but I used to say to the students, don't watch One Born Every
Minute.
Watch One Born Minute, because that is so false. Watch Call the Midwife. Call the Midwife, although it was about the historical side of midwifery, shows so many of the benefits and the right way to care for women. You know,
it
in
shows
the home.
True midwifery, actually. It shows true midwifery.
I know. So I think that's one thing that's got to change. It's a very difficult thing, because this has happened over many years, hasn't it? That people have been, there's been an evolution, really, from women quietly giving birth at home without any hassle to stepping in and saying, well, actually, you might be a bit safer in hospital and there you can have a rest. My mother was going on about last night about how when she had me, she had to stay in hospital for 2 weeks for a rest, you know? Mm-hmm. So that would be quite appealing, especially if you're in those days we used to have very hard time as women working in the home, you know, keeping the family going and making bread and all that kind of thing. So it's evolved over a long time. We've got to turn that evolution round now.
Well, I hate to bring it back to Corona, but I think one of the blessings or gifts that this has brought us is that it's highlighted what we've been saying all along, that birth in a hospital is not the right place, because it is essentially making a life event into a medical event. And it's only now because hospitals are being primed to only treat corona patients, and because it is now a hotbed of a virus, that birthing women are looking at alternatives and once again looking at it through a different lens.
Exactly.
Different reasons. So
the trouble is that the hospitals are looking at the logistics of it all and saying, well, actually, we want you all in hospital because we'll have a limited workforce and we can look after more patients if you're all in the same place. So some areas, they have stopped home births, closed yes. birthing, and are now centralising it back into those hospitals, which you quite rightly say are hotbeds of the virus. The women are choosing in many areas to free birth.
I know.
And just risk it. Is that it's less of a risk in their mind to have the baby at home without midwifery help, if that's what it's going to take, than it is for them to go into hospital. Because let's face it, the press at the moment, I don't watch the news now. It horrifies and stresses me, and I'm just not a person to get stressed at all. I'm a very balanced person, but I've stopped watching the news. I listen to the news once a day, just on my Alexa, actually, to get the main points, and I keep out of it because it's really worrying. It's making it so that we're all scared to be alive, because in any minute we could get that virus, and then that's us not able to get a bed in ITU and we're dead. You know, so I mean, it's unnerving to everybody. So these women are making those choices. They shouldn't be making those choices.
I think that what is also so valid and relevant is, and almost typical, is how maternity services are immediately being put down to the bottom. And once again, women's rights are being violated in the face of this crisis. It's like, well, you know, they're all healthy, they're okay, we can just move them around, shift them around, whatever, because our prime focus is on these corona patients, which of course we need to do, but it doesn't take away from women's rights and the importance of this for every birthing woman at this moment. It shouldn't change their rights. It shouldn't change the way that they were going to birth. And as you say, there's definitely going to be a rise in free birth. And while all of us are supportive of that, we're only supportive of it when somebody is completely prepared and has the backup and everything necessary, because I've seen too many women who've decided to free birth and think, well, it's just going to be all okay. Which, yes, we know and we trust birth and we know birth works, but we also know what to look for when it doesn't. And the average mum who chooses to do that as a last minute thing doesn't.
No, exactly. So that's another one of these possible additional sessions that we're having at the VIDM is going to be talking about women's rights in childbirth, because that is definitely a big area of concern with this coronavirus crisis.
Absolutely, it really is. So Linda, it's been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to chat to you. And my last question before we end this podcast interview is to hand the magic wand over to you and give you an opportunity to share your dream the way you would love to see the world, possibly even to say yes within the next couple of weeks, using that fairy dust that the coronavirus has given us.
Well, I think we've kind of come to that conclusion together, haven't we? That my vision would be that childbirth is seen as the normal event it is, and that we should have birthing suites that where the woman is given everything available to make it as normal as possible, the proper environment, the lack of equipment and beds, etc. A protected environment for those who prefer to be in a hospital environment, but a perfect environment for giving birth in, where people perform masterly inactivity and then only dip in when really required. But at the same time, having a very supportive environment at the home or in very small birthing centres. So there's a variety of opportunities for women to choose, but them all to be staffed by midwives who are fully on board with trusting women's bodies.
Absolutely. I love that. I'm fully on board with it and I'm on your team. Thank you so much for joining me today, Linda. It's been wonderful to chat to you.
Thank you.